Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. So excited for this beautiful weekend in October. We have a very lovely guest with us today. But before we get started, I need to shout out several events that are happening in the St. Louis area this weekend. Tonight, actually, in historic St. Charles, there is a full contact comedy at the Grand Opera Banquet Center. It's on North Main Street, and this is a new comedy dinner show. Last week I had on my program Jeff Batts. He's toured nationally with Weird Al, Howard Stern, the Charlie Daniels Band. That interview is still available for listening, of course. You can go to facebook.com/alivetothrive and listen to my interview with national touring comedian Jeff Batts. They have a dinner and show combination for only $35 or show only $21. You can get tickets on Eventbrite or at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street, or you can call the shop 636-493-1121. And Patrice is there today. We'll be happy to take your ticket order over the phone. Also tonight in St. Charles is a Pumpkin Glow event. This has never been done before. The merchants got together and put together this event. It went viral on Facebook. Something like 18,000 people said they're coming either tonight or tomorrow night. It's from 5 to 8:30. A lot of the stores will be giving out samples. The owners will be in costume. And at our store at Butterfly and Moon, we will have pumpkin spice sugar scrub. Those will be little containers that you get with purchase. They're used, you can use them in the shower to exfoliate and smell like pumpkin spice. They're really yummy. We have pumpkin spice moisturizer, too, available, made by a woman in Iowa, and also handing out pumpkin spice tea with the tea lady in costume. So lots of great things. Maria Bondurant, who just published Maria's Appetizers, will be giving out mini banana nut muffins. So she'll be there tonight at the store because we are sponsors of the comedy night and we'll be at the comedy show. And then Sunday we have artist Vicky White, who is a watercolorist and creator of the Orange is the New Black collection, featuring the popular characters Crazy Eyes, Red, Piper, of course, and Morello. That's the Netflix runaway hit, Orange is the New Black. It's won a couple of Emmy Awards. And we're speaking with Vicky White today on Alive to Thrive. So I want to welcome Vicky to the program. Hi, Vicky. How are you?
I'm good, Brenda. So nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you. I know you've been painting like crazy some new characters from the program. We want to talk about that and all your fine artwork that you've been painting for 40 years, longer than most people have been alive. And I know you've traveled recently to Italy and to Europe, and we want to talk about other places that inspire you. But let's talk first about Orange is the New Black. And what inspired you to start painting the characters, especially Red, the beloved Russian woman who is in charge of the kitchen? How did you find out about Red and about the program?
Well, the program was my daughter called me and said there's a contest going on for different artists to portray a character, either write about them or paint them or do sculpture of them. And it was worldwide. And it was held in New York. So I decided to do Red because I love her character and I love her hair. And I knew I could go crazy with doing the watercolor of her hair. And I entered it. Unfortunately, I didn't win, but we were in New York at the time when they were holding the awards and saw some of the characters from the show, and it was a good experience. And then I thought, well, these characters are really so interesting. I'm going to go ahead and do some other watercolor portraits of some of the other people. And just enjoyed doing it.
Well, they're absolutely beautiful, and they're original watercolor. Let's talk about, and then you've done the other characters. I think a lot of people really have admired your portrayal of Crazy Eyes and just her look, her hair, her expression. Tell us, you know, when you're trying to do a portrait of a character and capture not only the physical qualities, but the essence of the person, how do you do that?
Exactly. And I look for the main feature that would distinguish them and their character. And, of course, with Crazy Eyes, it's her big round eyes and her strange hairdo. And with Red, it was her hair. And Piper was actually the hardest one to paint because she is just very normal looking and really hard to capture her essence for the show. But I think I did capture it. And Morella is her big red lips and her makeup. She was just fun to do. So.
And she's sort of from Brooklyn, has that wonderful New York accent in the program. And a lot of people have gotten really into this show and, you know, binged watched it when it was first released on Netflix. You know, the book that's based the book, which is the true story written by Piper Kerman, is amazing, talking about the conditions of women in prison and really opened my eyes to some situations that, you know, I think most people are unaware of, you know, that women have childbirth in prison and are sometimes sexually assaulted by the guards. I mean, there's a lot of things that aren't often talked about. And this show goes where no show has ever gone before, with dealing with some very difficult subjects. And but also on the lighter end of the spectrum, the friendship between women and how they bond together, how they help each other, but also how they're in little mini cliques. And it's a very interesting study in the psychology of people that are imprisoned and that, you know, need to rely on each other for survival. What were some of your impressions about about watching this show? You know, being here from the Midwest and, you know, this isn't anything close to your life experiences. And I mean, what are some of the issues that it opened your eyes to?
Well, I too read the book, and I read the book, and then that made me interested in seeing the Netflix series. And in the book, I was just so amazed that the women that have been incarcerated for so long actually don't want to be released because that is their family, that is their security. And when they get out, if they don't have a family to help support them, it's very, very hard for them to get on with their lives, find a job, be able to take care of their children. And I think Piper is doing a wonderful job by helping the women in prison and making everyone aware of what it's really like for these women.
Yeah, and it raises a lot of issues. I'd love to get Piper herself on Alive to Thrive, and you know, I've started putting out some feelers, so hopefully that will happen at some point. But let's talk about your painting and when you first got started. Let's go roll the clock back 40 years ago. When did you start painting, and what inspired you to paint? Because I know a lot of women artists that we carry at the store at Butterfly and Moon, a lot of women artists don't get into their art till later in life, until they've given themselves permission to sort of start playing in some various art forms. But what age did you give yourself permission to start painting?
Well, it actually started in high school. I had two very good art teachers that encouraged me to go on to college, which I did, and took courses in commercial art. And back then, commercial art was all done by hand. It wasn't computerized yet. And I worked for several different commercial art companies, one of them being Commercial Letter, where we did all kinds of mailers and menus and book cover and just a whole wide range. And I really enjoyed that up until I got married, had children, and husband started his own business, and I helped him. So my art kind of took a back burner until after the children were raised. I got back into it, did art fairs, and joined some art clubs. And then in 2009, I had a scare with breast cancer and had chemo, radiation, and the whole works, and decided I'm throwing myself into my art because that's what I enjoy, and took a wonderful class from a well-known artist named Billy O'Donnell, who was teaching at the Foundry Arts Center at that time in St. Charles. And I got back into oil painting, and it just opened up a whole new world for me. And then I also took courses from other people, and you always learn, no matter how old you are or how experienced you are. And now I'm doing watercolor portraits also.
Well, I think that's so important what you just said. You always learn, no matter how old you are, and to just be a lifelong learner and to keep challenging yourself. And as you've gone from oils to watercolor to pastels and just trying new methods and new mentors and teachers, have you studied with Billy since that first time at the Foundry?
Yes. I had known Billy years and years ago when he was just a young man starting off, and he did some art shows that I participated in also. And lost with him for years, and then when I saw that he was teaching a class, we got back in contact, and during that class, he told the class he was going to go to Italy and plein air paint, which is outdoor painting, live outdoor painting from the scene, and teach a class in it, and a group of us signed up. We went to Tuscany, Italy, and he's a wonderful instructor, and we all made friendships and share our artwork and share time together. And I've made that trip twice now with Billy O and the group, and hope to do it again in 2017.
Wow. And I just want to share his website in case people do want to go on any of those, take any painting classes or travel experiences with Billy O. And it's Billy, just like it sounds, B-I-L-L-Y, the letter O, and then art, billyoart.com. And his website has incredible pictures and descriptions. And, I mean, just beautiful. He's one of the best-known Missouri artists, I would say. And so what are some of the specific skills that you think you learned from him or approaches to landscape painting?
I think the most important thing Billy O teaches, and this was new to me, You cover the whole canvas. You don't, like, I mean, you block in shapes, you block in shadows and light, and cover the whole thing right away. You don't just start in one little corner and go to the right and keep painting. And this taught me to look at things differently, to look at the way the light appears on different things and the darks and the contrast. And it also taught me to paint quite quickly, because when you are doing the plein air painting, you usually have a time frame where you only have like 5 hours to finish a painting, and then it's all judged after you're finished in the 5 hours. And that's hard to do, but
I was going to say, is it hard to stand there for 5 hours? I know I've taken painting classes that were 2 to 3 hours, and that I was exhausted after 2 to 3 hours. People don't think painting looks, people think, oh, plein air, it's so leisurely, and you have a glass of wine, and they have no idea that it is a lot of mental focus as well.
It is, and while I'm doing it, I don't even realize that I'm tired or hungry, and but afterwards, I mean, it's just like, whoa, you know, your whole body just wants to relax, and you were tense, and you were standing, and you were painting, and you were concentrating, so, but it's very enjoyable to me, it is.
I mean, have you ever had a situation when you were outside painting and the whole easel blew over?
Oh, yes, and the umbrella went in the lake.
Oh, no, and then what did you do? Yeah. Did you lose your painting? Did you have to start over?
The painting was okay. It landed face up. The umbrella, this was out at Chandler Hills Winery, and we were all painting out there, and a strong wind came up, and my umbrella that was attached to the easel just took off and went into the lake. So,
oh, my goodness. So which do you like better, painting landscapes or painting portraits?
They're really different. The portraits are much more challenging to me to make them look like the person you're portraying. The landscapes I'm more freer with, and I like to concentrate on the lights and the darks and the shadows. Right now I've been doing a lot of landscape painting and a lot of homes for people. I recently just delivered one for a lady who... good friend sold their house, and she wanted a watercolor portrait of the house to give to her friend. So I do a lot of those, and I enjoy both of them, really. I really do.
Fantastic. Well, and the house that we posted on Facebook that you had painted is just beautiful and such a nice keepsake, and it's a legacy that, you know, so many memories are formed in people's houses. We had a customer in Butterfly Moon the other day that said that they were, you know, her parents had lived in this house for 40 years and they were downsizing and moving to a condo or, you know, whatever. But, you know, having that painting of their house, is that house will always remain with them. And, you know, people raise their kids in their homes and things. So tell us an interesting story about one of your paintings, because I noticed, like, on Billy's website, he has a little, you know, paragraph about camping out on the Mississippi River, or, you know, some of his challenges were the backstory behind a painting. And so tell us the backstory behind one of your paintings.
Well, this was a house painting I was to do in St. Charles. And the daughter had commissioned me to do it as a surprise for her mom and stepdad. And I happened to know the stepdad, and so I had to be very discreet on trying to take the photos of the house so I could paint it. And one Sunday, I knew they'd be at church, so I pulled up and I'm taking photos, all different angles, and the woman pulls up, and she goes, "Oh, what are you doing taking photos of my house, you know? What's up?" And I said, "Oh, I just think it's the most beautiful home, and it's historic, and I'm just here in St. Charles taking a bunch of photos of all the different buildings." And then I could see her husband pulling up to go into the garage, and I had to get out of there before he saw me because he knew me. And I told her that story when I did deliver it, and she thought it was funny because her daughter and I worked very hard to get the right color on that house. In fact, her daughter even went to the paint store and got a paint chip of what they painted it in because it was a most unusual Williams Green farm-like house. It was unique. So that was one story.
Well, and you've done pastels as well. They're just beautiful, the pastels with the purples and the oranges and the beautiful landscapes with pastels. Do you like working with pastels?
That is a new medium for me. And there again, I did take 2 art classes from a pastel teacher, and one was on the dry pastels and one was on the oil pastels. And I liked the soft pastels better than the oils, and it's quite messy, so it's not my favorite media to paint in. I like oils, acrylics, and watercolors, but I have experimented with the pastels, and I probably will again. It is an interesting media.
Well, you've done so many buildings from around St. Charles. I would venture to say that you probably have painted more pictures of buildings in St. Charles, Missouri than anyone else. Do you think that's true?
It probably is. There are other artists that do it also, but I have even done a walking tour of the Frenchtown area for the Historical Society. So we did pen and ink paintings of all the different buildings that you could walk to and the little story behind each one of them. And I've done different restaurants that people have favored, like Lewis and Clark, and there was a Café Beignet that everyone just loved to come to, and I have done that years ago. And the courthouse, the first state capitol, different churches in the area, different schools in the area. They're all interesting. We live in a beautiful, beautiful area with so many gorgeous homes and places to visit.
We do, and we have one of the largest wine countries outside of Napa. It's kind of amazing to me because I live out near wine country, but the rolling hills and the foliage this time of year, and they're just some beautiful scenes. And so we want to make sure people know your website. It's Vicki White Artist, stcharlesmo.com. So that's V-I-C-K-I White Artist, stcharlesmo.com. And you can view a lot of her work, read her bio, and there's so many different historic scenes around St. Charles that she has captured, Main Street especially, Lindenwood University, the historic train depot by the Missouri River at Frontier Park, Miss Amy B's. I could go on and on. They're just some incredible, beautiful places. And some of these beautiful paintings will be on display Sunday, October 25 at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street. And you can come by and meet Vicki between 2 and 4, have a glass of wine, enjoy a little snack or appetizer, and talk to her about her painting process. And what is something, in terms of mentoring younger women artists, that, you think it's important for them to know in terms of starting out? What are some of the lessons learned that you can pass on to the next generation?
Oh, that's a hard one, because this new generation, so much of it is done computerized. I would say if you want to be a fine artist, you should take from different instructors, starting off with drawing. I think drawing should be the base of every piece of artwork that you do. And take some classes at either the junior colleges, the colleges, or private classes if you really feel you have the talent and the desire, and promote yourself as best you can. Get your things in different shops, on the websites, and even another way people are taking classes is on YouTube. You know, they have wonderful classes offered where they give you complete directions on what paints to buy, what brushes to use, what canvas to use, and just explore it. And also, if they're interested in the graphic arts, I do believe that's the way to go. I think you have to have the art talent in order to do that, but you also have to have the computer skills and knowledge of all the new technology.
That's so true, and there's so much on YouTube. It's just unbelievable things you can learn, and just, you know, getting that mentorship, and I think everything you said is right on, spot on. What about spiritually, emotionally, mentally? What are some of the things to do, like Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, some of the tips she suggests in her book, but, you know, to mentally prepare for, you know, just getting into that zone and giving yourself permission, as we were talking about earlier, giving yourself permission to create art. And I think so many times women are in roles as mother, wives, and daughters, and taking care of other people. How do you carve out time to take care of yourself?
Well, my artwork is a big part of that. And one thing you definitely have to have is a space to do your artwork in, just a special space where you have that set up all the time so that you can go in there and create or work on a project day, if you can only afford to do it a little bit at a time, and schedule an art day for yourself. Someone told me that years ago, and it really does work. Or an evening, say like Tuesday evening is the day I go to my little work area and work on a painting or find something interesting I want to draw or create.
And I think that's a good idea. You know, create your own corner, like Virginia Woolf, a room of your own. And you have lots of options of quiet and solitude. Well, we want to talk with your lovely spouse, the handsome John White, who runs Pheasant Valley Farms in Hillsboro, Illinois. There's a beautiful website people can look at, pheasantvalleyfarms.com. And there's hundreds and hundreds of acres of open wilderness and hunting and a place to stay. Welcome to the program, John. Are you with us? He might have muted.
I don't think he is.
He might have muted his line. Hi, John. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Hi. Go ahead. We're listening. Hi, John. Welcome to Alive to Thrive.
Oh, it's nice to be here. Such a beautiful fall day.
Well, tell us a little bit about Pheasant Valley Farms. And it's so picturesque and scenic, and maybe some other painters want to go out there and paint or just relax with their families. Tell us about this beautiful place you run.
Well, it is an enchanting place, and Vicki has hosted several, you know, artist outings there, and there are so many subjects to paint. It's just a wonderful place for artists to go. The farm is a place. It's dear to our hearts. We've had it since 1975. Our children grew up there, you know, part time on weekends and holidays, and it's such a special place. We wanted to share it with anybody who would want to come. And we developed two vacation homes on the site and converted all the farmland into wildlife habitat. So at this point, we have bounds and bounds of acres of habitat that produces all kinds of wonderful wildlife. And the vacation homes are very comfortable and picturesque and private. I think that is what we offer more than anything, is privacy. You come to Pheasant Valley Farms, and it's like your own farm, your own getaway, complete privacy in your own home. It's just fantastic.
Wow. And it was so funny because we met in an independent way than from how I knew Vicki, and that was through the University of Missouri Extension Office, where I believe you serve on the board. Is that correct?
Yes, I still do. Yes,
still do. And that's a big, you know, giving back to the community is something I think you both do. But tell us a little bit about the University of Missouri Extension Office. And I mean, people probably don't realize that there are a lot of classes there and
absolutely
conservation.
Well, myself and the University of Extension, although the extension that I went to was in Illinois, in Hillsboro, Illinois, but the extension, you know, helped farm families in the very early stages, you know, when it was developed over 100 years ago. And through that time, it's helped homemakers, it's helped farmers with new techniques, it's helped youth develop their skills, you know, in all areas, in their public speaking, in their projects that they did to learn how to raise animals and produce products and raise crops. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. And today, it's continuing to help people of all varieties of interest, whether it's their master gardeners or whether it's people wanting to start up a new business or people wanting to take dietary courses. This whole variety of things, it's moved into more of an urban helping concept now.
That's awesome. Well, I think there's a lot of well-kept secrets with a lot of things in our own community that people may not be aware of. And so do you have some of Vicki's paintings decorating out there at Pheasant Valley?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we do. Yeah. And people enjoy them very much. Sometimes they're very surprised when they come and say, "Who painted that?" Oh, well, my wife painted that, and they just found it. So.
Wow. Well, thank you for making time to be with us today. I know that you're, you know, you think you're semi-retired, but it sounds like you're still running a full-time business and doing so much in the community. And Vicki, what kind of workshops have you done out there? And do you have one scheduled for the spring, or do you have one on the books?
Not yet, but I did one last fall, about this time. There were 6 artists that came out, and they stayed 2 nights. And we went over to the pond one day, and the leaves were all turned beautiful colors and reflecting in the pond. We all painted there. And then a lot of them decided to paint the old barn that's on the homestead. And we went out to dinner. We went to the little winery close by, and it was just a delightful weekend. And I would like to plan that again in the springtime when all the spring flowers are blooming.
Mm.
It would be great fun.
Sounds incredible.
And we're actually working on a little shed where I could set up inside art classes eventually and teach some classes out. Mm-hmm.
It seems like, do you think that these traditional crafts and skills that are passed on through the generations will continue even though we live in an age of technology?
I think so. I think everybody appreciates original art and all the work that goes into it and the feelings that go into it. I definitely think, yes, it's going to be around for a long time.
And it's such good therapy. I know I took painting class after my father-in-law had passed, and I had helped take care of him for 5 years. And I took also painting classes at the Foundry here in St. Charles. And it was so relaxing. Like, I didn't even check my cell phone. I wasn't anywhere near a computer. And they had soft music playing. But it's a time to really get out of the busyness of life and out of the stress. And I think so many times in America, especially, people are so incredibly stressed out, and then they're taking prescription meds or other things to relieve that stress just because they've not taken any time for quiet. And, you know, I was the type of person that I thought being quiet or being in a quiet place was like a quote, a waste of time. and I was always busy, busy, busy. And now I really appreciate it because and now having that balance, I think having that quiet time, whether you're painting or out in nature or whether you're hiking at a place like Pheasant Valley Farms or, you know, I guess for guys hunting, you know, and some women also enjoy hunting. But, you know, that you can have more balance and you end up getting more done in your life. Do you find that, Vicki, that you can get more done when you have some time?
You do. You absolutely do. And I know whenever I'm doing artwork, you know, I'm just totally engrossed in that. And like you said, you don't even want to answer the cell phone or you don't want to have your eyes glued to a computer screen. You know, your mind is just creating and relaxing. And I think it's a blessing that I have this talent and I thank God every day for it.
Where do you think creativity comes from?
My creativity. Well, I would say both of my parents were very creative. And my father died at a young age, but he did do wonderful artwork when he was alive. And my mother was a wonderful seamstress. And my grandsons are now very good little artists. I know it is an inherited gene. I'll swear by that. And I think you know it if you have it, and you just have to pursue it. Some people probably are never too old to try if they actually think they might have some talent, and you'll be surprised at what they create.
How do you think artists or anyone in the creative realm, whether they're writing or creating and painting or building or something, you know, turns off that inner critic?
I didn't quite understand that. What, Brenda?
Well, how do people that are pursuing creative works, making, whether it's, you know, painting or writing, I find a lot of artists are very critical of their work. So how do you suggest people turn off that inner voice, that inner critic?
Oh, I see. Yes. You know, that is a problem because you think, well, and that when you're doing artwork, there is a fine line as to when to quit, especially in watercolor, because you want to take it further and further, but then you just might muddy it up. So you always want to make it, oh, I can do this better, or I can write this better. And there's a point in time, I think if you'd ask other people's opinions, that helps to get their thoughts on it, and that's a hard call to make, it really is, because you always think, well, it's good, but I could probably do it even better next time, and maybe you will.
Well, I think we may have another caller on the line. I want to welcome, there's a 314 area code caller. Welcome to Alive to Thrive. Tell us your name and why you're calling in.
Hi, I'm Jan Hager-Klein, and I appreciate Vicki's work, and I just wanted to call in and kind of visit with you for a couple minutes about her wonderful artwork.
Awesome. So when did you discover her paintings?
I met Vicki on a trip with some St. Charles artists. We all went to Italy in 2010 and had a wonderful week and a half traveling around Italy and painting and learning from our instructor. And Vicki and I have been friends since, and we paint together outside. We've done classes together, and it's always a pleasure to be around Vicki and her wonderful art.
Wow. So you're another artist, and then do other artists buy and support other artwork of other artists, or do you
Absolutely.
Have some of her pieces? Yeah, tell us about the pieces you have. Mm-hmm.
I do. She did a wonderful piece of a couple of the artists in our group who were painting out. We stayed on this incredible 1,000-acre villa in Italy, and we would paint every afternoon in the yard, overlooking, you know, the vegetable gardens and the vineyards. And Vicki's work is really incredible because it's very detailed. It's very delicate. but she can complete a piece of work in an afternoon. It's amazing. She's very, very talented.
Wow. And so what have you learned from Vicki, either as a friend or as a fellow artist?
She is really, really good with perspective. And I like to go very slow. She can go quicker and see angles and edges. And so it's nice to consult with her as we're painting together. And she's just got a real sweet demeanor and attitude. It's real nice to be around her.
She does. She has a very calm personality. I don't know if she's always been that way or if she had to work to get to that way, but she has a very calming presence. But what else have you learned from her in terms of either persistence or not accepting failure or always trying a different approach? Like she was saying earlier about, you know, always, you're never too old to learn something new and always learning. What are some other things you've learned from her?
Well, she has a real good eye for, if you look at a scene, she can kind of pinpoint and pull together something that would make a lovely painting. And it's been real interesting to be around her and watch her size up the field from which to draw a piece of work. So that's been a real benefit for me in working with her.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jan. And stay with us on the program. It's always wonderful to have callers call in. We have another caller that's at the dashboard's lighting up in the a studio here at Alive to Thrive. I want to welcome another caller from 314. Tell us who you are and why you're calling in.
Hi, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
All right, this is Emily. I have known Vicki for a long time. I'm not an artist. I don't want to be an artist. I have no talent. But what I do enjoy is all the work that Vicki's done, and we have a lot of it in our home. I remember Vicki starting out taking classes at junior college. So we have seen her grow and develop as an artist, and I'm just in awe of how she continues to grow and she tries new things, and she really does have a talent for this, and she's always learning. When I walk into a shop or a place where Vicki's work is displayed, I can find it right away. I don't have to look for her name. It's just really unique. I can tell she puts a lot of emotion in her work. I have some drawings of our children that she's done, and we are looking into downsizing. And about 30 years ago, she painted our home, drew our home, and sketched it. And just that is priceless to me. I think, you know, they say, what would you take if your house was on fire? Of course, I get my husband out first, and then I would grab one of that painting in bed because it means that much to me.
Oh,
but,
wow.
She is, and she does have special times where she paints. When she wants to get away from any problems that she has, or she's just happy and coming down from a good time, she'll say, I think I'm going to go paint now. And it could be at the farm or it could be at home, but it's just part of who she is, and I'm so glad that she shares what she does with me.
Awesome. Well, that is quite a testimonial. Vicki, you have seems like a very wide circle of friends and fellow artists that admire your work and are followers of you. How does it feel to hear people talk about your artwork that way?
It just really touches me and it really makes me happy. I mean, those are two wonderful friends, and Jan is a wonderful artist herself who does beautiful, beautiful detailed work, and they're both just a joy to be around, and I appreciate their friendship and their kind thoughts.
Well, we wanted to, one of the things we like to do on this program is share some practical tips for living a happy life and pursuing your dreams. The whole name of this program, Alive to Thrive, is about living life full out. Yesterday actually marked the 19th anniversary of my mother's passing in a car crash that I survived, and I heard somewhere along the line that soldiers have a day that they call their alive day, where they came, had a close brush with death. And so October 22nd is my alive day. And so, Vicki, you talked a little bit earlier in the program, we didn't really go much in depth about your dealing with breast cancer, but is there a day that you felt like, is your alive day that you just, you felt that the cancer was kicked and that you were, you know, going to focus on living instead of dealing with a health issue?
Exactly, yes. And I encourage all the women, since it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, to get your mammograms, to check yourself every month. And for those of us that have been through cancer or going through cancer, be strong. You can beat it. And what you'll learn from it is that you'll appreciate life so much more and want to make the best of every day that you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's well said. And sometimes it takes a health scare, or in my case, you know, a brush with death with the car crash, to have that wake-up call that, you know, I think it's like the universe, you know, knocks you upside the head with a 2x4 to wake up to the beauty around you and what we do have, and to have gratitude on a daily basis. And I think people that live from that positive place, like yourself, Vicki, and John, and other artists that we have in the store, I mean, I think that's something we really look for in this artist that we want represented at Butterfly and Moon. We want to create a positive environment where like attracts like, and positive energy breeds more positive energy, and that we just have this ripple effect out of love and kindness. Just like Leon Logothetis, the author of The Kindness Diaries, spoke about when he was at the shop a couple of Fridays ago on October 9th, that we were so pleased that he came for an hour to visit with us and sign books. But, you know, we all can play that role of, you know, creating that ripple effect of kindness. I heard a story yesterday at all places at Weight Watchers where this man, one of the Weight Watchers trainers or whatever, instructors, he started washing windows at the gas station of other people's cars. And, you know, and the, you know, the little ladies, old ladies were saying, you know, do I owe you any money for that? And he's like, no, I'm just, you know. And then, you know, he did 3 or 4 cars and he left. And then the next car behind him started doing it for other cars. I mean, it's just kind of neat how one little act of kindness can ripple out into the community. And I just want to wish you, Vicki and John, all the best. I know you have a family situation with someone who has some health concerns, and we just want to send you our good love and attentions as you deal with that, but as you continue to create beautiful works of art for the rest of us to enjoy.
Well, thank you so much, Brenda. I really appreciate all that you do for so many people and the community.
Well, thank you. And just another shout out, you can meet Vicki White, the artist, on Sunday, October 25th from 2 to 4 at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street. If you want to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/butterflyandmoon, you can see a short bio of her there, all the events that are coming up. There are like 10 events between now and Christmas. Someone just told me it's 8 weeks till Christmas Eve. I couldn't believe it. You can sign up to be on our VIP mailing list, to follow us on Twitter at Butterfly, just the letter N, Moon, Butterfly and the letter N, Moon. But do stop down St. Charles and see us, if not this weekend, then soon, and pick up one of Vicki's original artworks, either in watercolor, acrylic, or in pastel, or print. I mean, the prints are great for mailing for Christmas gifts because they're flat and they don't weigh a lot. You can pick up a print, send it to someone with a little handwritten card. It makes a big impression. Any closing thoughts, Vicki, before we sign off for the day?
I just look forward to meeting everyone on Sunday and sharing my artwork and sharing a glass of wine and some hors d'oeuvres. And I want to thank Brenda and Patrice again for letting me hang my artwork at Butterfly and Moon.
Excellent. And John, any closing thoughts about Pheasant Valley or anything people should know coming up? How you're open year-round, I assume?
Yes, we are. Every season is a favorite season at Pheasant Valley Farms. And I just want to thank you also for letting us visit with you today and invite everybody out to look at our website, PheasantValleyFarms.com. We're on VRBO, Home Away From Home, and Airbnb. And once they look at it, we invite them to come. We assure them that they'll have a good time.
Awesome. Well, thanks, John, for being with us. Thanks, Vicki, and we'll see you both on Sunday.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We are signing off here. Just another plug for Jeff Batts, Full Contact Comedy tonight, dinner at 7, show at 8. There are still a few tickets left. Gina Keevan, one of the organizers, has just a few tickets you can get either at Tony's on Main or at Butterfly and Moon, or show up at the door at 7 o'clock. You're going to be treated to an incredible dinner, dessert, and a really fun night out. Jeff is high energy. He improvises on stage. He's a one-man show, but he brings the audience into the show. So we'll see y'all next week on October 30th, getting ready for Halloween. But we'll be talking with some folks from TEDx, Gateway Arch, and the TEDx speaking day that's coming up on November 7th here in St. Louis. So stay with us and follow us on facebook.com/AliveToThrive. Thanks, everyone. Have a good weekend.